tiny and sublime. And we stole the gift of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, the noble and generous messenger of Allah. And I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except the one Lord and Creator. His proper name is Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. For Allah, there is no associate, no helper in the rule of the heavens and the earth. He is ruler alone. He has no partner, no associate, no one sharing the rule of the kingdom with him. Allah Most High has said in the Quran that any who comes to him comes to him as a servant, and that he has no need of any servant himself. Therefore, whoever serves in the cause of Islam, or whatever creature there is serving in the rule of the kingdom of the heavens and earth, angels and men and jinn, they all serve as their duties are requirements of their nature, and Allah needs nothing from any of them. It is for their own good, for their own benefit, that they serve. Allah Most High in Quran has explained, I have revealed to Prophet Muhammad the scriptures so that we may have a better understanding, or clear understanding, regarding what was revealed before. And Muslims, as you know, we are to believe also in those revelations or those scriptures that came before. We believe in the Quran, and we believe also in those scriptures that came before. Not that we believe in them in the form that they're in now. We understand that before Prophet Muhammad's mission, peace and blessings be on him, the scriptures were not existing in their pure form. They had been distorted, and some of them had been corrupted by interpretations, translations and interpretations, etc. Nevertheless, Muslims ought to believe in the scriptures that was revealed before. So the prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and all of the prophets of Allah. In the Quran, the Most High tells us of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, answering the previous prophecy that God would raise up a messenger like Moses, and that he would be a teacher. Prophet Muhammad was a teacher. Prophet Muhammad addressed both that he would teach them the chokmah, the wisdom of the scripture. Not just to recite scripture without wisdom, but he would also give them the wisdom of the scripture. And that he would lead them into purification. Purification. Dear beloved Muslims, we must keep these things in mind. There is no guidance without moral soundness. There's no wisdom coming to us from the scriptures without moral soundness. We can't expect to get the benefit that God intends for us in the scripture if we're going to be immoral, if we're going to be unconcerned about the moral development of our souls, our minds, etc. So this community, understanding that, it must work hard to keep the best moral, to display the best moral behavior, and to always keep strong morals, clean morals, as a goal for yourself as an individual, and also for your community or for your constituents, whoever is working with you, whether it's business, whether it's education, whether it's dollars, no matter what it is. Our morality is an ethic. And it's an ethic that includes everything in the life of a human being. Himself, his society, his government, everything. There's no place where our ethic stops. Our religion is a comprehensive religion, and our moral code is a comprehensive moral code. It doesn't leave out anything in our lives. So we should keep that in mind. Allah Most High says in the Quran, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. The people of the scripture لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. The people of the scripture did not become rejected until there came to them the clear bayyinah, evidence. Rasul min Allahi yatlu suhufan mutahara. The messenger or a messenger from Allah who recites for them purified scripture. Purified scripture. Suhufan mutahara. Who recite for them or who teach them purified scripture. Fiha kutubun bayyina. In it, that is, in what he brings to the believers, the purified scriptures, fiha kutubun bayyina. In it are books made right. Books corrected are made perfectly right. Then we understand that those previous scriptures that Allah revealed to messengers before returned to us in the mission of Prophet Muhammad. That is, that was necessary for our time, for the people. In that time and in times to come, that was worthwhile to preserve for the future generations and for future changes in the world was retained in the right form, perfectly as God intended it. So it came back. But By that we mean that if any Muslim would seek the scriptures that were revealed before, he should seek those scriptures in the Quran, not in sources other than the Quran, because the Quran now contains what was revealed still before, and it contains it in its right state. It's a kutub. Kutub is the plural. Book, not one book. Kutub, book. Fiha kutubun qayyima. In it are the corrected books. The corrected books. Books made right again for all time. Now we'd like to refer to the Bible so that this Quran will help us to see what the Bible is presenting, or what the Bible is trying to establish. Because the Bible is old scripture. If the Bible was good enough, then Prophet Muhammad would have taught the Bible. The Bible is old scripture, it's not good enough. The Bible contains the error, contains the mistake, the error. But with the Quran, we can see what is the right way to understand the Bible. The correct way to understand the Bible is had by studying the Quran. Now, Jesus Christ, as we know, he's the prophet of Allah. One of the prophets of Allah, Jesus Christ. Messiah, Isa, Jesus Christ. One of the prophets of Allah. And a strong characteristic, or perhaps the most obvious characteristic in the person or personality of Jesus, is the Ruh of Allah. The Ruh of Allah. Because we're told that he was blessed with something of the Ruh. The Ruh. He was blessed with the Ruh of Allah. And that he himself was inspired by the Ruh of Allah. And that the Mary, his mother, blessed mother, she was blessed with the Ruh of Allah. And Jesus is a child or a prophet born of the Ruh of Allah. Of the Ruh of Allah. Ruh of Allah. Allah says of his Ruh that he has given all something of his Ruh. So don't think that we are talking about something that's not common in the people. All of us have something of the Ruh of Allah. But Jesus, he is singled out for having this Ruh dominant in his life. Dominant in his life. And we know Ruh refers to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now there is a branch of study in Al-Islam called Ruhiyya. Ruhiyya is the study of spiritual life. Ruhiyya, the spiritual aspect of the life. Ruhiyya. So we then understand it, that Jesus was more a spiritual prophet or messenger than any other thing, than anything else. And we can see by that the character of his followers all over the world. The character of his followers all over the world is spiritual character. And the Bible prophesies that he must return. That he must return. And Jesus would return. Now Jesus, though he is characterized as the spiritual prophet, or the Ruh prophet of the Ruh of Allah, he also represents a goal of the intellect. A goal of the intellect. Because according to the scriptures,
He promised the people that this that they had gotten through his mission by the grace of God, that this would dwell with them and live with them and cause them to grow and search and would lead them into all truth. Into all truth. So this is not just any spiritual characteristic in the man, but it is a spiritual characteristic that we understand when we study the inner aim of man. Human beings have a natural inner aim, and that inner aim is seeking fulfillment, is seeking full expression. It's the force in the man, in the human being, that forces and drives the human being to reach the full capacity of his soul and intellect. They call it inner aim. So this inspiration came into that nature of the human being, and Jesus Christ typifies that in its first stage. First is a spiritual urge, and the spiritual urge eventually leads us into the encounter with the rational, right? It brings us to that encounter with the rational. So that's why Jesus has to come back. Jesus has to come back. He has to return, because that urge was not fulfilled in Jesus. He said, God will send you another comforter, and he will lead you into all truth. And the Christians understand that that means the return of Jesus are the continuation of that force typified in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. You see? But they realized too that it had to take on a new characteristic, in order to bring people into the full light. You see? Now, Allah Most High says of Jesus Christ in the Quran that he is a kalimatan. Kalimatan. He's a kalimatan from Allah, from his Lord. Kalimatan. Kalimatan literally means a word. A word. Now let's look to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And the Bible says also that he is a word. But what the Bible says of this word, the Bible mystifies this word, puts a lot of mysticism in this, says that in the beginning there was the word, and the word took on flesh and dwelled in the world with men. And the Bible also says of the word that the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay. So how the Quran is going to correct this for us? How will the Quran correct this for us? Inshallah, we'll see before we finish the khutbah. Now, the Quran corrects this. Jesus, then, has to return. And we are saying that Jesus returned in Prophet Muhammad. But that wasn't Jesus. That was Muhammad. That wasn't Jesus. That was Muhammad. The Bible says of Jesus, say, I go away, and you see me no more. Now, that's one statement. We have to write that down. That's a statement. I go away, and you see me no more. So we wrote that down, no more. Now, let's see what else it says. And nevertheless, you shall see me. So now we write that statement down too. You see me no more, and you shall see me. Now how are we going to reconcile this? That's contradiction. And I mean clean cut contradiction. So how are we going to reconcile that? How are we going to bring that into some kind of agreement so we can understand what it means? It means the person Jesus will never come again. But the urge that was in Jesus that did not reach the intellectual expression, would come back again, and it did in Prophet Muhammad. The Christians are confused. They say Christ is the ruler. Christ is Lord to the end of the world. They are confused. Christ simply means purified one. Messiah means wiped clean, made right. You see? So Christ simply means purified one. All the prophets of God were Christ. He didn't choose them until they were made clean. He never chose any unclean messenger. They all were Messiah. They all were ordained, chosen by him because of their excellence, moral excellence. Because their cleanliness, their perception was clean. Was not fogged like ours many times. We have fogged perception. We can't see clearly because of foreign matter in the view. You see? So God sent all messengers who were Messiah. And if you study the old scriptures, the scriptures that revealed before, you see many messengers. They were anointed. What is anointed? Clean. Anointed. But not cleaning with a rag all the time. There's many ways to clean. You see? And they all were anointed. But Jesus Christ is a type of what? And that's why in the vision of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be on his messenger, in the vision of Prophet Muhammad, we find Adam, that is the night visit of Prophet Muhammad. We find Adam was on the first level. And Jesus Christ was on the level above that. And then Jesus Christ was an expression of something that was native or natural in Adam. You see? Then Jesus Christ was above that. And perhaps we can say that Jesus Christ was the beginning of a revelation or unfolding of something that was in the original man, in Adam. Right? Okay. And then on the next level, we go on up, we find a different prophet. And in the highest level, there was Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, peace be on them. Now, dear beloved Muslims, and we are to understand then that Jesus represents an urge for expression, an urge for expression. And this urge found expression in the spirituality of the people. And you go among Christians right now, hardly you can find a group that will differ from this picture of them. All of them are contained in spiritual life and in spiritual expression. That's the character of the followers of Jesus Christ. But all of them will tell you, whoever have little knowledge, in fact, an average believer in the Christian religion, will tell you that there is an urge in them to know the truth. But it hasn't reached the rational expression yet, so they don't discuss it as we discuss it. We discuss it in rational terms. They don't discuss it like that in rational terms. Only in the high circles, we should say the hidden circles. Only in the hidden circles will they discuss it like we used to discuss it, you see? Now, dear beloved Muslims, then Prophet Muhammad is that one that was prophesied to come after Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ. Now, if I would say to you that Bilal was Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, I said, oh, wow, that's confusing. But if you understand that Bilal typified or personified that particular characteristic in Prophet Muhammad, the Bible says Christ in you. So if the same principle, if the same Christ principle is in all people, then if the Bible is right, then that Christ principle had to be in Muhammad. And if we understand that the original pattern on which God designed man needs expression, needs to be revealed. It needs expression. It must be revealed itself. And if Jesus, it was an expression of something that was already in the original man, Adam, then does that stop with Jesus? Every man must have that too in him, right? All right. Now, I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to you. All right? All right. So, then, Jesus must be in me. I must be Adam in my original nature. And Jesus must be in me. And John the Baptist must be in me. And also, Joseph, Yusuf, must be in me. And Idris must be in me. And Moses and Aaron, Harun must be in me. And Prophet Ibrahim, peace be on them, must be in me. They are prophets, but they are expressions of something that's in me. Something that's in my original nature. So in other words, God has not brought anything out to speak back to us that wasn't already in us. Now, is this some great thing? Oh, the Imam is heavy. Excuse me. I'm not heavy. I'm light. The wisdom is heavy. This is in the Quran and in the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. The Quran says, and in you are seven, and above you are like seven. Didn't say a different seven. And I like seven. A similar seven. You see? All right. Now, we are trying to establish something. In fact, we are establishing some things. And now we have a goal in mind. All right. Now, the Bible says that Jesus appeared after his crucifixion. Now, we know we don't accept the crucifixion of Jesus. We don't believe that Jesus was crucified. Allah Most High says they did not crucify, neither did they did not kill him, neither did they crucify him. You see? So we don't accept that, do we?
No,
all right. And now we can understand that they didn't. Because what Jesus typified is still in the world, and it's still in people. And it came back in its right expression through the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. You see? So we know that they didn't kill him, and they didn't crucify him. But it said it was made to appear that way unto them. So Jesus, after his crucifixion now, Jesus returned after his crucifixion, so the Bible says, and he was seen. And at first, they didn't recognize him, did they?
No, sir.
The woman who saw him, she didn't recognize him. She saw him.
That's right.
And didn't recognize him. Now, if it was the same man in physical characteristics, how come she didn't recognize him? I mean, and she was very common. She was a common associate of Jesus Christ according to the Bible, the New Testament. And she saw him and was talking to him. She saw his look. And she heard his voice and didn't recognize him. And he had to reveal himself to her. So that means that it was not that same person. Now, I'm not saying that the Bible is correct all the way. It's not. But we have to understand what the Bible is trying to say. In its effort, it's trying to say something. Now, the manner in which the method is uses may not be correct. So don't think that we're saying this line of reasoning is sound for Muslims. It's only sound for Muslims if Muslims have the insight to criticize that logic. All right? Okay. But we're doing is showing what the Bible is saying. So we will understand what the Bible is saying. All right. What we should take note of, perhaps more than anything else, is what Jesus told her when she went to touch him. He said, "Touch me not. I have not yet ascended." He said, "Touch me not. I have not yet ascended." What does that mean? Now we know how come she didn't recognize him. Because when he was with her, he was the Messiah. When she knew him as the Messiah. She knew him as the Messiah. She knew him as the purified one. And when she saw him resurrected, she didn't know him. Mm-hmm. But when he spoke out of the impurities of the grave, when he spoke through the impurities of crucifixion and the grave and etc., she recognized him. Say, "Oh, this is my Lord."
Right.
Yes, she recognized him then. Okay, and when she went to touch him, he said no. All right, dear Muslim. In the beginning there was the Word, and Jesus is the Word from his Lord.
That's right.
So what does Jesus, he was a prophet, we know that. But what does Jesus also symbolize? Jesus symbolizes the Scripture. He symbolizes the very gospel that was revealed to him. He himself is a sign of that gospel. He's a sign of how that gospel came into the world, how that gospel would be treated.